Now for the preaching this morning, let us turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. Luke, chapter 12. We read verses 1 to 12, and the text will be from verses 1 to 9. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he had killed had power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. And I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denied me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Amen. Let me read again those words from verses 8 and 9. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. The Lord Jesus Christ here with these words teaches his disciples that they must make an honest confession before God. Let me put the whole statement of our Lord Jesus Christ within its proper context. Christ here in this chapter is preparing to send his disciples two by two out into the world to preach the gospel. This in a sense is the beginning of the gospel work of the early church in the New Testament. Jesus Christ is not going to preach the gospel all by himself. Now he sends his disciples two by two into the villages, into the cities, out into the world to preach the gospel. And here with these words, he prepares his disciples for that task. But at the same time, our Lord Jesus Christ tells the disciples that the world is hostile against the confession, against the profession, against the preaching. And here in this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ points out two hostilities, two areas in which the world will oppose the Christian preaching. First of all, the Lord Jesus Christ mentions about false religion, hypocrisy. False religion will oppose the preaching of the apostles. And secondly, he mentions about magistrates, rulers, and the governments of this world. They will drag the apostles, they will beat them, they will put them on the cross, and they will stone them before the other people out in the public. So he warns them that there will be hostilities, there will be opposition. But then the Lord Jesus Christ gives these very encouraging words. if you make your confession before God and be honest about it, you don't hide your confession, then Jesus says, I will do this. I will confess you before the angels. Or in the words of the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, I will confess you before the Father. Confessing Christ. Confessing Christ is not easy. You make a confession, and that before the man of the world. But in this day and age, it seems more difficult. A tolerant age, an opposing age, a hostile age. So let's look at this passage, confessing Christ in a hostile age. First, let's look at the hostility, then the admonition by the Lord Jesus Christ, and then finally, the encouragement given by the Lord Jesus Christ. First, the hostility. The hostility happens precisely because you and I confess Christ before the world. What does it mean to confess Christ? Let's think about this question first of all. Christians confess Christ, and this morning in the worship, there will be individuals who will stand before the church and before the presence of God to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that involve? What does that mean? Let me say five things. And children, it all begins with the letter F, so that you can follow along what it means. First of all, to confess Christ before the world means that you follow Christ personally. That you follow Christ personally and not the world. You make a confession of Christ, and that means you pledge your allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. You don't take Christ and then you still follow idols. You don't surrender your life to Christ and then you still want to cleave to the things of the world. You don't say you follow Christ and then you say that with reservation and you keep things deep in your heart. You still want to worship and treasure. When you confess Christ, you say before the world, Christ is my all in all. Christ is my life. I follow Christ. He is my master. I serve Christ. Following Christ means that Christ goes before me. He takes the lead. He is the one who guides me, and I listen to what Christ says and how He takes my hand and then take me to walk in His truths. First of all, it means that. Who do you follow? Do you follow your own promptings? Your own sinful nature? Your own sinful preferences? Your self-centered ambition? Do you follow the patterns, the philosophies, the pleasures of the world? Who do you follow in your confession? I follow Christ. Secondly, to confess Christ means that you focus on Christ's kingdom. You focus on Christ's kingdom and not the things of this world. Our Lord Jesus Christ puts on every confessing believer a priority which cannot be changed and must never be altered. He says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. The word first there is not so that you may have other things. First as a matter of priority. And then you will believe and you will trust that God will take care of the other things in your life. Christ is being realistic. He knows that you have needs. But first of all, Christ puts this commitment upon you as you make a confession. Who is your priority? The kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not what you shall eat. Not what you shall drink. Not that all these things are not things that you should be concerned about. But Christ knows you have need of these things. He knows. Your priority, in other words, to put it practically, is not to join a union, protest out in the streets, restore the CPS percentage. or your priority is not to be obsessed with the common culture, to upgrade your life so that you feel more comfortable. You may do that, but you have to do that first of all without compromising your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Things are for you to enjoy, but the first thing you must enjoy in every situation is Christ. If you enjoy other things, you lose the focus on Christ, then you're losing your priority. Focus on Christ. Thirdly, to confess Christ means that you favor, that is, you show by your preference, you favor the truths and the virtues of Christ and not the philosophies of the world. My car broke down this week, so we took the MRT to church this morning. The first thing that we saw when we stepped out of the City Hall MRT was a gathering of young girls with one of them, the tongue sticking out. It starts with piercing. Ouch! Painful! That was my first reaction. Painful to have your tongue pierced with studs. But that reflects a philosophy, doesn't it? The pleasure principle. Pain doesn't matter. If pain gives pleasure, pleasure is what I seek. The pain, never mind. What do you favor? In confessing Christ, we favor the truths, the virtues, the values of the kingdom of Christ. His righteousness, His love, His joy, His peace, His kindness, His compassion. To favor the truth of Christ means also that first of all we put the Bible above everything else. We read the scriptures, we follow obediently what the Word of God says. Number four, to confess Christ means that we fight for the cause of Christ. We don't fight for the church just because of one leader who has charisma and personality. We don't follow personality cult. We don't fight for the church because we so happen to love our tradition and our heritage. We don't play churchianity. We fight for Christ and His truth, especially in this day and age, because there is so much open-mindedness and tolerance, so that the truth of Christianity is sidelined. If you claim that you're Christian and the Bible is your authority, you almost seem to be a fanatic in society. But you have to fight that the truth of Christ is evident in your life and confession. This day and age, they're full of errors, full of vain teachings, but you fight. Are you fighting in your confession for Christ? Fifthly, you are frank. You are frank before the world about Christ. And that is important, because we are surrounded by many non-believing colleagues and students and friends, and many times we give in to pressure just because we want to go along with our friends and to enjoy maybe what they want us to do with them. But you mustn't hide your testimony. Children, you must never be afraid to say your prayers before your friends and give thanks to God when you enjoy your food. You must never be ashamed to say that you go to church on Sunday. Must never be ashamed that the Bible is your word for life. Never hide your testimony. Be frank. And that is what precisely Christ wants His disciples to do when He sends them out to preach the gospel. Do not fear, but be frank with your preaching and confession. Be frank, despite our hostilities. Confessing our allegiance to Christ is bound to provoke reaction. And reaction, I say, come from two sides. And this is what Jesus Christ says here in this passage as well. First of all, he points out the threat of the Pharisees. Verse 1, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And then later on in verse 11, he says, and they will bring you to synagogues, to magistrates, to powers, and then they will force you to deny Christ. Two hostilities. First, from false religion. Then secondly, from the unbelieving world, especially the unbelieving authorities. Beware of hypocrisy. And here he tells us that false religion is a threat to our Christian confession. Now, what is false religion? First of all, false religion looks very real, like true religion. It has religious language, it has traditions, it has rites, it has many things that make it appear religious. But it lacks the element of God's forgiveness and grace in Jesus Christ. False religion in this passage is represented by the Pharisees. Look at the Pharisees, and they appear really religious. They are traditional, they have a form of religious appearance. They use, of course, the language of the law of Moses. They are very strict even about observing the law of Moses. They are legalists. They are very exclusive. Follow our tradition, or else you cannot be saved. We are right, everybody else is wrong. Now, how does false religion threaten Christianity? How is the false religion of the Pharisees hostile to our confession? Now, of course, we can talk about many false religions, the religions of the other faiths, but the greatest threat of false religion is that type of false religion that takes the name of Christianity and then make it to appear good and true, but it is fake. False religion that takes the name of Christianity, but which of course is not true. And this is what the Pharisees were doing at the time of Jesus Christ. They take the language of the Old Testament. And because the Old Testament is so full of laws and precepts, they say, you have to do works in order to be saved. And when Jesus Christ sends his disciples to preach grace, they say, now, look at that. That is false. This is true. Grace plus works. We have always been doing this. And this is the religion you follow. By that, the Pharisees, again, sideline the true religion of grace and impose a religion of works upon everyone else. Do works, and then you will be well and you will be saved before God. That is the threat of false religion. That is how false religion is hostile to Christianity. Look at these Christian people. Sunday, they are not doing social work. Sunday, they are found in the church. And they are not working together with the other faiths. They don't follow the humanistic policies of the secular society. They keep talking about the Bible. Can that be true? Look at the exclusive religion of grace. And that will put us in very bad light in the day of Antichrist. Antichrist religion is humanistic. It is a religion of works. It is a religion of tolerance. It is a religion of conformity. It is not a religion of grace. Second, hostility comes from the unbelieving world outside the church. How are they hostile to the Christian faith? Three ways. First, they oppose our confession with force. You don't see so much of that nowadays. But if you read Christian history in the early days, that was what they did with our fathers. They took our fathers, threw them into the Roman Colosseum, and they made a spectator sport of Christians in the confession. Throw Christians in the Colosseum, let loose the lions, so that the lions can devour these confessing Christians, and then they all, as spectators, together applaud. for the lions, and how fierce they eat up these Christians. They oppose our confession with force. That was what Jesus Christ warns the disciples in this passage. The magistrates will take you, make you to deny me. Will you do that? In the force of pressure, will you deny Christ? That is the challenge. Secondly, they will openly object to our values and our doctrines. Look at these Christian people. They talk about a faith that is so old and so exclusive. Can this faith be relevant? The word relevant is the in thing today. Is Christianity relevant? Look at these Christian people. There is no relevance of Christianity in this fast changing society. Christ alone, grace alone, is that relevant? So they will openly object to our values and our doctrines. And then that will lead them to ostracize. This will lead them to ostracize Christian people. Christian, look at them. They disapprove of Hollywood. They disapprove of all these humanistic policies. They disapprove of this and that. They don't gel with society. And that, of course, will be what Antichrist does. Easy to confess Christ, full of joy, full of goodness to confess Christ, but there is difficulty. There is hostility. So what is the admonition? Beware of hypocrisy, first of all. Then secondly, be fearless. Beware of hypocrisy and be fearless. Now the word hypocrisy is interesting, because the word is taken from the Greek stage and drama. It describes a performer who pretends to be someone else. He plays a character, and he pretends to be someone else so that he can put up a show, he can perform a show and gain the audience approval. At the end of that performance, what he wants is the audience to applaud, to say, what a good performance. Do you see how he performed as that person, that character? So that is the stage for the word hypocrisy. A performer who pretends to be someone else. And that tells us two things about hypocrisy. First of all, a hypocrite is one who pretends to be something he is not. Pretend to be something that he is not. And he does this again to gain approval from men. Secondly, a hypocrite is one who hides his identity. He hides his identity so that he can go along with his friends, he can be with his friends, perform with his friends, enjoy with his friends, and he does this again for the same reason, to seek approval from men. Beware of that kind of hypocrisy. Now Jesus tells that to his disciples, because his disciples who preach the gospel in the open world, the Pharisees are very strong and insistent with their religion, and then there will be the pressure of opposition and force. And he tells them, don't be a hypocrite, to hide your identity and then to go along with the Pharisees and the others. Be very bold about your confession. Think of a person who comes to church, who dresses himself well, and then he behaves with piety in the company of churchgoers. Easy to do that, isn't it? When we are in a company of churchgoers, the language is religious, we talk about prayer, we talk about the things of the Lord, it is easy to appear to be a Christian. But then when the church is over, and the religious gathering is over, there's no more Christian people that he needs to gain approval with. Christian people is already scattered. The meeting is over. And when he goes back to be with his unbelieving friends, he changes camp, he changes approach, he changes his mindset. What I need to do now is to gain approval of these unbelieving colleagues and friends. And now to do that, I have to hide my identity, sideline my Christian profession, go along with them, and now I can gain approval of these friends and go with them. Gain approval of Christian people when they meet. Gain approval of the non-Christians when they meet. In the one case, I pretend to be religious, what I am not. In the other case, I play down my religion. I hide my identity. Beware of hypocrisy. What is the reason in this admonition? Jesus says, whatsoever he has spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. That which he has spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. Now these words mean two things. First of all, we are all transparent before God. God knows your secret thoughts. God knows your desires. You cannot hide your thoughts from God. He is everywhere present. When you are alone in what you are doing, God is there. He knows your thoughts. He knows your desires. That is the meaning, first of all. Whatsoever you have spoken in darkness, on your own, in your closet, God knows. God will reveal it into the open when He judges us. Now the meaning, secondly, is this. He means to tell His disciples that you cannot hide your profession. You cannot hide your faith. Here He sends His disciples to preach. The disciples must be very frank in the preaching. Speak about Christ. Don't try to compromise, to water down the language, and to say less about what Christ really is. All that Christ is, tell others. Reason is, because you cannot hide the truth about Christ. Christ will take that truth, He will proclaim it into the open. He does that in many ways. He will do that through preaching, to the testimony of believers. He will do that, of course, in the last day when the whole mass of humanity is gathered before God. Then He will show the world who Christ is. You cannot hide the truth and the reality of who Jesus is. So the meaning and the implication is this. Why hide Christ? Children, tell Christ to others. Because Christ will make Himself known in His own ways. Beware of hypocrisy. Don't hide your faith. Don't pretend to be what you are. Be sincere. Be fearless. Be fearless. Verse 4, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he had killed had power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. In other words, be fearless. Do not fear man. Reason here Jesus gives is very simple. Man can never destroy your soul. Again, Christian history is full of accounts where Christians were beaten and persecuted, even mutilated and body broken and cut into parts, disposed, until you cannot recognize their body. They can kill your body. But the challenge of Jesus Christ in these words is this. It cannot kill the soul. They may imprison you, torture you, make all ways to make you deny the faith, but you will never lose your soul. You know, one of the things that I believe will happen in the last days when Antichrist comes is that he will make us deny our faith. And I don't think he will use force, because force is something that will never work. In fact, history has shown that will in fact make us more courageous. Maybe force, but there's so many new ways to make a person deny his conviction. You know what the terrorists do? They inject mood changing drugs and chemicals and make you suspend your consciousness so that your mood is changed, your thinking is altered, your consciousness is distorted. And in the kind of setting, it is like hypnotism. You deny Christ. Well, that may well happen when Antichrist comes. But even in those situations when you are altered in your consciousness to deny Christ, but Christ will never deny you. He will never change your destiny because He has given to you His righteousness. No man can destroy the soul. Our destiny belongs to God. He decides. He saves our life in Jesus Christ. By His blood, He cleanses our lives. God saves us. He saves our soul. So He tells us here two warnings. Two warnings we need to bear in mind as we make our confession. Do not be a hypocrite and be fearless. Now what is the encouragement to make us confess the Lord Jesus Christ honestly, sincerely before men? He gives two encouragements, and the two encouragements we have in the text are this. First of all, Jesus says that God cares for you. Now the words in verse 6 and 7 are really beautiful. But bear in mind the context. The context says go out and confess Christ. There are many dangers. And this is what God does. God cares for you in those very difficult circumstances. Verse 6. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings and not one of them is forgotten before God? First of all, we have this picture that Christ gives to us. Now, in those days, on the streets, you will find hawkers selling roasted sparrows, who of course have been skinned, and it is a delicacy. And they sell it just for 2 farthings. For the sake of convenience, let's take it for 1 cent, 2 cents. When you go to Yangon, you see the same thing. You'll see hawkers selling sparrows, roasted, and supposed to be a delicacy. Maybe if you visit, I may let you try that. Supposed to be delicious. And you know what Jesus says here? Not one of these roasted sparrows, so out on the streets is forgotten by God. God never forgets the most insignificant creature in His creation. Sparrows. Insignificant. Now of course in different cultures there's many eating habits. The Korean eat dogs. Others may eat some kind of weird creatures in China. But God never forgets His creation and His creatures. Even one tiny helpless sparrow, victimized by those who love food, is not forgotten by God. Do you think that God will forget you? God made you with a nature that is far better than the sparrows. With human dignity, with capacity to think, to reason, to invent, with a logic that can reason things clearly, with faculties that can respond to the preaching of the gospel. God made you in His image. And God in His providential care has a special attention for you in your needs, in your trying situation. And He has given to you Jesus Christ so that He can save you, and this because you are the special object of His love. He has a special love for you. And look at the cross. You see the blood flowing down, children? Who is that blood for? For you. For you. Are you much better than sparrow? Indeed you are. Now, if God cares for these sparrows who are victimized, do you not have faith that God will care for you in your very difficult situation? So that is the encouragement. God cares for you. Second picture is, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I don't have much hair. Some of us are also losing hair. God knows every hair that you have. Maybe some say, well, come on, this is hyperbolic. But God knows everything. You lose a coin, God knows where that coin is, children. You miss a bus, God knows that you miss that, there's another bus that is coming. God knows all the simple details in life. You think God cares for your hair? God cares for your life. This is only an illustration. Don't get so bogged down by your physical appearance. Be more concerned about spiritual realities. God cares for your life. Will God forget you? Be fearless, Christ says. The second encouragement is in verse 8. I say to you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Now follow with me what Jesus Christ says here. He says, whosoever shall confess me before men. The word confess means to say the same thing. If you say the same thing about what I tell you, I am your Savior, you belong to me, I save you by my life, and you are not ashamed of this confession, then I will say the same thing about you before the angels. Now, what is the encouragement here? The encouragement is this: Christ will acknowledge you openly and publicly before all the hosts of angels, before the Father in heaven. Now, there is a reason why our text says before the angels of God. Matthew 10:32 says before the Father in heaven. Because here Jesus Christ wants us to look at what he will do, and he will do this. Angels are mentioned because the Father in heaven is surrounded by angels, multitude of angels. And Jesus Christ wants us to see that picture. Jesus is not going just to the Father in secret and say, Father, I want to tell you that that man confessed me, and that man is mine. That child is mine. It will be a very open public confession before all the angels and before the gathering of the saints. Jesus Christ will say, this person is mine. Now when you confess Christ before all the world, Jesus will do the same before the gathering in heaven. He will say, that person is mine. I am his. That is a beautiful confession. The encouragement is because Christ will confess us, we therefore ought to confess Christ in this life. The picture of heaven is glorious. It's hard to imagine what that picture is. At least from this text, we can see that the Father is there to listen to the words of Christ. And Christ is there to make confession for us. And we will dare all together as a church to hear what Christ will say about us before the angels. And we will all hear this. We will hear Christ saying to the Father concerning all the elect children of God, all these are the ones purchased by my precious blood. They are mine. And I hope that will encourage you to confess Christ this morning. But for those who deny Christ in this life, there is a very serious and severe warning. They will be denied. Notice in verse 9, the emphasis is this: but he that denied me before men, the words is not, I will deny them, though that is true. But in verse 9, it is this: they shall be denied. It is in the passage. The picture here seems to be this, that in the last day, they will appear before God and they will say, isn't it true that we have done good deeds in your name? Isn't it true that we have professed you? Isn't it true that we have bear the name of Christ? Did we not say, Lord, Lord, in the name of Christ we perform all these miracles? Do we not have right to be yours? Now the words of the text says, they will be disowned. They will realize their folly and their false profession. They think that they are owned by God, they belong to God, but in the end they realize that they are disowned. Now with that, let me ask you a question. What is your confession? God works the confession in the heart of every elect child. And always the confession will be this. Whatever your age is, whatever your background is, when grace is in your heart, your confession is this. Simple confession, I belong to Christ. Conclusion, this confession in this hostile age is difficult. Let me say two things in conclusion, beginning with C. First of all, be conspicuous, which means be very clear about your confession. Not ambiguous. Be very clear. Be conspicuous. Be very clear in stating who you are, children. I go to church on Sunday. I read the Bible. I pray. I listen to my elders. I belong to Christ. Number two, be very courageous. Be fearful. Don't give in when there is pressure, but give to Christ. And that is really beautiful. Let's pray. Father in heaven, give us that courage to make that confession that we belong to Christ. Teach us to be honest, to be faithful, that when there is pressure in every circumstances, we will never deny our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in His name. Amen.